Firstly,
thank you very much. I'm trying to think if I've ever spoken in here or not. Very nice shul, right? Okay. So, firstly, I want to wish everybody a happy Yom HaAtzmaut. It's hard to know exactly what the proper terminology is supposed to be. I'm just debating it with one of my Talmidim outside, but we can certainly say Yom HaAtzmaut Sameach. As for the rest, these are technical halachic questions, when we use different phrases, but that it's a very significant day in the Jewish calendar, one of which requires Shevach v'Hodah, Hallel in one form or another, is I think something that everybody who's here probably is fully committed to, and I certainly am fully committed to it as well. And therefore, it's really a pleasure to be here. I think it's also very important. I've been advocating this for many, many years. Probably had nothing to do with the reality of this morning, but that oftentimes people celebrate Yom HaAtzmaut in various ways, through, you know, dancing and singing and barbecues, and all of that is fine and good and appropriate. But often the most important element, which is the element of Talmud Torah, and really establishing the significant role that Eretz Yisrael plays in our lives, in the way which is most important, the Talmud Torah, Keneged Kulam, usually that kind of gets lost in everything else. So I don't know who organized all of this, but I applaud the decision to make the focus on learning in a Boker Yunus, I think what it was called, is something which I think, very appropriate, and I hope it catches on in our community. When I was Talmud in Yeshivat Har Etzion many years ago, the Yom HaAtzmaut, the two Yom HaAtzmauts, which I was there, Mori v'Rabbi Rav Aaron Lichtenstein Shlita, in both cases, gave shiurim on the topic of Zroim, and it made a very profound impression on me. And I think that all the years, whenever I've been, sometimes Yom HaAtzmaut comes out during final week, but whenever it comes out at a time when it's possible to say Shiurim, as much as possible, I've always tried to also speak about a Zroim topic, some topic which illustrates and accentuates the centrality of Eretz Yisrael in our lives. So this week it's actually Bechino week for some of the Talmidim. So we didn't have that opportunity, so I'm happy to come here and to participate and to speak a little bit about the role of Eretz Yisrael in Halacha as a way of highlighting its centrality in our lives, and I think the real importance of Yom HaAtzmaut, which I'll get back to towards the end. In our yeshiva this year, we're learning Masechet Pesachim, and moreover, we're just a week away, a week and a half, or 2 weeks beyond Chag HaPesach, and we're really kind of at the cusp of the next holiday that's on the calendar after Yom HaAtzmaut. Before Yom HaAtzmaut was the holiday of Pesach Sheni. So what I thought I'd do is speak a little bit about Korban Pesach to begin with, and its connection to Eretz Yisrael as a way of highlighting what's important, I think, the transcendence importance that Eretz Yisrael has in halachic life generally. In Parshas Bo, in the parak that deals with the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim, called sometimes Pesach Mitzrayim, so the Torah delineates all of the details, what it is that happened that night, the process of taking the Korban Pesach, taking the animal and shechting it, putting the dam on the mezuzah and the mashkof, and everything that happened in that context as well. And then the Torah, after that first rendition, tells us, "Ushmartem es hadavar hazeh," you should preserve this this thing, meaning this whole tekes of Korban Pesach, all these dinim of Korban Pesach, "Lechok lecha ulvanecha ad olam," and it should be a chok for you and for your generations to follow forever. And then the next pasuk, surprisingly, tells us, "V'haya kisavo el haaretz." When you come into, when you enter into Eretz Yisrael, Asheyitein Hashem Lachem kasher diber, which Hashem already mentioned that He was going to give you, ushmartem es avodah zos. So you should preserve and you should cherish and you should be very careful, very scrupulous about this avodah of Korban Pesach. Okay. And then the Torah goes back and discusses Korban Pesach again. Later on in Perek Yud Gimel, where the Torah kind of sums up the legacy of Yitzias Mitzrayim and Pesach, Vayomer Hashem Moshe v'Aaron Zos Chukas HaPesach Kol Benechar LeYochal Bo. Once again, this reference to Korban Pesach, B'chol Eved Ish Miknas Kasef. We have the whole discussion. And then in Perek Yud Gimel, Vaydabar Hashem Moshe LeMar Kadosh Li Kol Bechor Petek Kol Rechem B'nei Yisrael Badam Uvabheima Lihu. One of the legacies of this night is the concept of Bechor. Vayomer Moshe El Ha'am. Secondly, Zachor Es Hayom Azer Asher Yitzasim Mitzrayim B'Beis Avadim. There's something called Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim in addition to Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, which is a mitzvah that we practice every single day to remember what happened in Mitzrayim. Ki b'chozek yad hotzi Hashem eschem mizeh v'lo yachel chametz. Hayom atem yotzim b'chodesh ha'aviv. And then in Pasuk Hei, Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Hei, once again, v'haya ki yaviyacha Hashem el eretz haknani v'achiti v'amori v'achivi v'ayivusi asher nishba la'avosecha loseis lach eretz zavas chalav u'dvash v'yavarato savoda hazos b'chodesh hazeh. And then when you went into Eretz Yisrael, right, and the description of Eretz Yisrael, you will once again be avodatos avodah zos b'chodesh hazeh. You will do the avodah of the Korban Pesach. So the two times when the Torah speaks about the legacy of Korban Pesach, in both places, it emphasizes that the Korban Pesach is supposed to be brought in the aftermath of Knisa le'Eretz Yisrael. Question, of course, is obvious. Number one, historically, Yitzias Mitzrayim took place in Mitzrayim, okay? And the Pesach Mitzrayim was in Mitzrayim. Not only that, but in Bamidbar, in Parshas Baloscha, right, where we have the whole discussion of what came to become, what came about as Pesach Sheni, right, the Torah tells a story about these people who were not able to join together with the rest of Klal Yisrael and bring the Korban Pesach. After all, they were Tmeim L'Nefesh Adam, and they turned to Moshe Rabbeinu very dramatically, and Chazal tell us, Megalgalin Zechus Ayidei Zakai, that they were so insistent that they not be neglected, that they not be left out of Korban Pesach, that the Ribbono Shel Olam revealed the Parsha through them, whether He created it for them or He only revealed it through them or because of them. But either way, the institution of Pesach Sheni, which in about a week or so we will encounter, not the actual bringing of the Korban, unfortunately, but at least the day, was instituted with these people in mind. However, the implication is clear, and that is the Korban Pesach is brought not only in Eretz Yisrael, but in the Midbar as well. This all took place in the Midbar. And Vaydabar Hashem Moshe b'Midbar Sinai b'Shana Hashenis, let's say some Me'aretz Mitzrayim b'Chodesh Rabishon Le'mor, this is the second year, B'Yasu B'nei Yisrael Es HaPesach B'Mo'ado, this is in the Midbar. B'Arba So Yom B'Chodesh Hazeh B'Nu Arbaim Tasu Oso B'Mo'ado K'chol Chukosov Kol Mishpatav Tasu Oso. And that's when you have the Anashim or Tmeim L'Nefesh Adam, Vayikrivu L'Fnei Moshe V'Fnei Aron B'Yamahu, Vayomro Anashim Ahema, Eilav Anachnu Tmeim L'Nefesh Adam, Lama Nigara L'Bilti Akrivas Korban Hashem, B'Mo'ado B'Soch B'Nei Yisrael. Maybe we'll speak later on about the use of the language here. So obviously, Pesach Mitzrayim was in Mitzrayim. The second or the first commemorative or historical Pesach outside of the historical event was in the Midbar. And people were clamoring to be included in that commemoration. Now, as it happens historically, the next time Korban Pesach was brought was in the time of Yoshua, and that, of course, was already in Eretz Yisrael. But, right, that also has historical background, and that is that in order to bring Korban Pesach, right, Klal Yisrael have to be, the males have to be subject to Bris Milah. And that was the prerequisite which Yoshua oversaw right, in order that Korban Pesach could be brought once again. How could the Torah in Parshas Bo twice, when it speaks about the legacy of Korban Pesach, speak about Kisavo El Haaretz, even as a few psukim later, not a few psukim, a couple of svarim later, but the next time the Torah speaks about Korban Pesach, it's established clear, crystal clear as a fact, that there is Pesach Bamidbar. Moreover, even if we didn't have these psukim or this reality to contend with, there's a conceptual question. And that is, why should Korban Pesach, why would anybody think that it should be limited to Eretz Yisrael? Not only for the reasons that I previously mentioned, but in general, there was a, obviously, you know, once Yerushalayim became the place of the Beis HaMikdash, so Korbanos are supposed to be brought in Yerushalayim. But until that point, the concept of Korbanos per se is not something which is limited necessarily to Eretz Yisrael. If you have a Mishkan, you can bring Korbanos. We know that there are two types of mitzvos. One of the two types categories of mitzvos are Chovas HaKarka and Chovas HaGuf. The Mishnah in Masechet Kedushin tells us that whenever there's a Chovas HaKarka, then it's limited to Eretz Yisrael. Trumos and Maestros and Maestros Sheni. Most people think that Bikurim is included in this. It is, in fact, the only question is whether it's a typical member of the list, but that's not for now. Chala also is a little bit of an issue. But mostly what we call mitzvahs atlius ba'aretz are only brought in Eretz Yisrael because they're a function of the chovas karka, the sanctity of the soil, and there's only one place in the world that has sanctity of soil, and that's Eretz Yisrael. That's unique to Eretz Yisrael. However, if we speak about what we call chovas hagavra, chovas haguf, personal obligations, right, they have nothing to do with the soil, and therefore they're not limited to Eretz Yisrael, the putting on of tefillin, right, the for men, the observance of the holidays, of the moadim, right, all of the mitzvos that we have practically, eating matzah, right, all of these things, blowing shofar, all of these things have nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael because they're chovas haguf, they're chovas ha'adam. They have nothing to do with the land, with the soil, nothing to do with produce. Korbanos have nothing to do with produce either. So why would one think that the Korban Pesach is specifically linked to entry into Eretz Yisrael? The Arachaim HaKadosh discusses this question. All the Mepharshim discuss this question. Not exactly the way that I am, but they're all interested in this question, especially the discrepancy between what happened in Bamidbar and these psukim, these two different psukim in Parshas Bo. So the Arachaim HaKadosh has a very nice idea. He says what Klal Yisrael were being told in Parshas Bo was not that Korban Pesach requires Eretz Yisrael. What they were being told was, listen, you're on a certain spiritual and historical trajectory right now. We just had Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? The next thing is, I'm elaborating and embellishing just a little bit, but this is mostly what he says. The next thing is Matan Torah, right? And from there, the triad will be complete, Knisa L'Eretz Yisrael. And if things go as they are presently projected, right, it'll happen sooner than later. So, says the Arachaim, what we're really being told is not that Eretz Yisrael is a prerequisite for Korban Pesach, but that the next Korban Pesach, as things stand now, the spiritual potential, as it's presently being realized, the next Korban Pesach already, and from there on, all Korban Pesach, will already be in Eretz Yisrael. And that's what the Pesukim mean, according to the Arachaim. When the Torah says, Yud Gimel Hei, V'ayokiv Yacha Hashem El Eretz, HaKnani, Achite, Amori, Achiv, Yayivisi, Hayivusi, Yashonish, Bela, Vosech, Halas, Yislach, Eretz, Zavatz, Chalav, Udvash, V'yavaretos, Havoda, Azos, B'chodesh, Hazeh. Basically, they're being told that if you keep on this path, this will happen. Every Korban Pesach will be brought in Eretz Yisrael. And that is true for the earlier Pasuk in Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Chaf Hei, as well. Again, the same basic idea. V'hoya kisavo la'aretz, asher yitin Hashem lachem, kasher diber, ushmartem es avoda hazos. And this is consistent. Rashi and the Medrash point out, you know, the Heichanama, Rashi says, I'll get to the other part of Rashi in a moment, Like, what do you mean kasher diber? Right? Where's the kasher diber? So Rashi quotes the pasuk earlier in Parshas Va'era. V'heichan diber, v'heves yaschem el haaretz hazos. In Parshas Va'era, when Moshe Rabbeinu encounters the Ribbono Shel Olam, and he's given a special nevuah, right? It's different than all of the previous Nevi'im, the Avos, right, had used. It's going to be not Bekel Shakai, but Shmi Hashem lo nodati lahem. So at that point, he's told, right, Vilakachti, all the Lashonos of Geula that we know, including Vehevesi Aschem, Ela Aretz Hazos. Rashi says that Hechan Amar, how do you know the Korban Pesach is supposed to be or is going to be in Eretz Yisrael? The Nevuah of the Vehevesi Aschem. So according to the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, the idea is, right from the beginning, the horizons, this is very important, hashgafically as well, right? After all, we're talking about an immediate crisis, right? The people are slaves, their spirit is being broken, right? Physically, they're at the brink of extinction because the physical labor is reaching a point, you know, where its impact is going to be irrevocable. And Moshe Rabbeinu is being told, you are their shepherd, you're going to be their leader. What is your task? So it's fascinating that the vision, right, is an ambitious one from the outset. Not only are you going to lead Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, right, but there's going to be a different quality of life, right, implied by Matan Torah, and Vevesi Aschem, you'll be brought to Eretz Yisrael. That's part of the original vision, that's part of the original contract, that's all connected to the Bris Ben Abisarim, etc. So Yor Chaim says, the Torah wasn't telling you that Korban Pesach is a prerequisite. The Torah is telling you that Klal Yisrael were on this trajectory, and that Yetzias Mitzrayim was going to lead to Matan Torah, which was going to lead to Knesset Eretz Yisrael, if not for the Meraglim and the Cheta Egel and everything that intervened, which derailed everything, right? There never would have been a Korban Pesach outside of Eretz Yisrael. Even if you take the position of the Aruch Chaim, right, the fact that we're being reminded of this in the context of Korban Pesach is still significant. It isn't a prerequisite, but it's still, the association is fascinating. Either way, the idea that Yetzias Mitzrayim isn't a standalone, but is intended, right, to lead to Matan Torah and ultimately to Knesset Eretz Yisrael is surely a powerful idea in its own right. However, the psukim, and certainly the repetition of the pasuk, of the psukim in Bo, seem to be saying more. It's all very well and good to say that, this is where things are leading right now, but why dafka in the context which emphasizes the details of Korban Pesach? There are other ways to have said, you could have said, you'll eat matzah next year, you know, in Yerushalayim, Ira Kodesh, Bimhera V'Yameinu. Why dafka Korban Pesach? Moreover, some people are medayik from the language of Kisavo, that this refers specifically to the period after the Knesset LeEretz Yisrael, the period of time, the 14 years out of Kibush, the Chaluka. It has to do, in other words, with not just entering Eretz Yisrael, but the onset of Kedusha Sa'aretz, of the sanctity of Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael in its full halachic stature. That's not so clear, but there are those, the Malbim and others, who make that argument. That's the language of Kisavo. Certainly, if you would accept the Aruch Chaim's explanation, that this is all just about where this is historically intended, and even right now has the potential to lead, then obviously the 14 years are a problem. Knesa, Yerusha, Chaluka doesn't make sense. More of it has nothing to do with Kedusha Sa'aretz. So it would seem that there's something more at stake. What is that something else? So Rashi, in his Perish Al HaTorah, addresses this question, as does the Ramban in Bamidbar. Rashi says, "Vahayaki avoacha Hashem Elokecha l'eretz haknani achite amori achiva yivusi," etc. Tola akosav mitzvah zubi biyasam la'aretz. The Torah links Korban Pesach and Knesset l'eretz Yisrael. V'lo nuschayvu bamidbar ela Pesach echad, she'osu b'shana hasheni shal pi adibor. Korban Pesach, that first year, the year which triggered the din of Pesach Sheni, Lama Nigara, That was a special exception al pi ha-dibur. But the rule really is that Korban Pesach requires Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban in Bamidbar, Perek Tes Pasuk Aleph, is much more nuanced about this whole issue. Aldas Rabosenu Lenoga Bamidbar Lashana Zubavad, Shalom Malu Bamidbar Bahoisa Mila Sakharim Bavadim Makavis Bahem. It's true, maybe, that there was, Chazal have this view that the only time Korban Pesach was brought was during that first year, but maybe that's because, right, the prerequisite for Korban Pesach, which is that the males have a bris milah, right, became a problem after that first year until the time of Yoshua. Or is it something more fundamental, namely the requirement of Eretz Yisrael itself? Yitachen shehutzrach l'mitzvah zu, bavur shelo nitzava mitchila basiyas pesach doras ela ba'aretz. He says not only that, but it's important that they, what is the whole parsha in Bamidbar doing there? For we already know about Korban Pesach. But probably it's there because Megalgon Tzchusai Dezakai to tell us the story about those who clamored and therefore were responsible for the establishment of Pesach Sheni. But Ramban adds, he says another reason that it's there is because if you only had the Pesukim in Bo, you'd think that you can only bring Korban Pesach in Eretz Yisrael. Dechsiv ha-yaki savo la'aretz asher yitin Hashem lachem kasher diber u'shmartem esavod azos v'od ne'mar sham, he's quoting our Pesukim, v'hoyaki v'yach Hashem la'aretz ha-knani v'avaretz esavod azos b'chodesh hazeh. Achshav ratz ha-kodesh baruch hu v'tziva she'yasu oso kadeh sh'ti ha-zecher gu'ulasam v'anisim sh'nasa lehem l'avoseyem netak lehem n'avos ha-roim l'b'nei. The Rebbeinu Shlomo made a special takana, an exception to this rule, in order that you can establish the historical observance of Korban Pesach so that it will then be something which can be handed down out of experience, father to son, l'dorei doros, through Mesona. L'b'neim, l'b'neim, b'neim, l'dor achron, etc. V'inei, omar t'chila v'ayoki sabo l'aretz, l'omar sh'eimit tzuzunu heges b'chutz l'aretz, l'doros. V'achshu sh'tziva sh'ino agu b'midbo. Okay. And then he goes on, and he has some hesitation about this, etc. In any case, according to Rashi and according to the Ramban, what emerges is that the case in that first year in the Midbar was an exception. And that the rule really is that Korban Pesach requires Eretz Yisrael. Again, not all Mefarshim agree. If we take the view of Rashi and the Ramban, so we should also accentuate the question of Kasher Diber. Because the Torah says Kasher Diber, and Chazal say Vehechan Diber, and they tell us that it refers back to that initial nevuah that Moshe Rabbeinu got, where the Rebbeinu Shlom said to him, Dehevesi, I'll bring you also into Eretz Yisrael. Now, if you hold like the Or HaChaim, which is that this is all about their spiritual potential, right, they're on such a high level, and the vision is so broad and ambitious, right, that it's going to be Yetzias Mitzrayim, Matan Torah, Eretz Yisrael. So that Kasher Diber makes a great deal of sense. But if you take the view, ironically, of the Rashi and the Ramban, who understand the requirement of Eretz Yisrael for Korban Pesach to be more serious, more of a prerequisite, so then the Kasher Diber becomes more problematic, because what does the fact that the Rebbeinu Shalom mentioned Vehevesi, when Rebbeinu Shalom said, Lakachti, Hitzalti, right, all the Lashonos of Geula, one of which is Vehevesi, to Moshe Rabbeinu, was he talking about Korban Pesach? Certainly not. He was talking about Yitzias Mitzrayim. He said to him, you're going to be the leader, they'll listen to you, right? I'm addressing you in language that I've never addressed any Navi before. We'll get back to this. And then he used these Lashonos of Geula. What does it have to do? According to the Or HaChaim, it's all about the, you know, the program, the three-pronged program. So it's fine. This is all part of the initial three-pronged program. It wasn't just a focus on removing the shackles of slavery. But according to Rashi and the Ramban, this is real, and it's a requirement of Korban Pesach. What's the proof from the Hevesi? What does Hevesi have to do with anything? Okay. So in order to explain both the phenomenon, we also would like to understand why, according to Rashi and the Ramban, there is such an exception. The general rule about exceptions, if you don't mind the pun, is to figure out whether an exception is really an exception, or an exception always reflects, a deeper understanding of the real formula and of the rule. All things being equal, right, we all know of two types of exceptions out there. In the world of halacha, we also find or encounter two types of exceptions, real exceptions and exceptions that prove the rule. We would always prefer that an exception be consistent with a rule, all things being equal. So is there any way to understand what happened in the Midbar as consistent, actually, with the requirement of Korban Pesach be'eretz Yisrael? In order to resolve all of this, or at least to suggest an approach to all of this, so let's take a step back and look at the bigger picture. I mentioned before, as part of the question, that in the halacha we find two types of dinim, right? There are chovos karka and there are chovos haguf. And normally the rule as established in the Mishnah in Masechet Kiddushin, in the end of the first parak, is that only chovos karka are limited to Eretz Yisrael. Chovos haguf apply bein ba'aretz, bein b'chutz la'aretz. And that's a very logical idea. After all, Jewish life is very rich and very enriching and very encompassing, and it's a mechanism to inject kedusha, sanctity, in all of our lives. And if one doesn't have the privilege or the opportunity to live in Eretz Yisrael, life doesn't end. But there's still a full life which requires the infusion of kedusha. And that's why Chovos HaGuf apply Bein Ba'aretz, Bein B'chutz La'aretz. All of us here are living right now in Chutz La'aretz, and there's still Tefillah, and there's still Talmud Torah, and there's still Moadim, etc. Right? Living in Eretz Yisrael is a special additional schus, and that's one of the things that we're going to be discussing. But the fact is that there's still a very rigorous a halachic life which can be lived anywhere. That's part of the greatness of Torah life. However, if you examine certain institutions in halacha, it becomes apparent that there are certain dinim which are not chovos hakarka, and yet which are either limited to or require the input of, or in some cases at least there's a priority for Eretz Yisrael. And if we could understand that pattern, then we would have a greater appreciation of the role of Eretz Yisrael in halachic life generally, and more specifically we might even be able to understand better the problem or the issue of Korban Pesach. I don't have so much time, so let me just mention one or two of these. It's part of a much bigger topic. The Gemara says in the end of Masechet Brachos and in Sanhedrin that Kiddush HaChodesh, sanctifying the new moon, right, or Ibur HaShana, establishing the calendar, L'chatchila, ideally, requires the place of Eretz Yisrael. Ki mitzion teitzei Torah udvar Hashem miYerushalayim. There's an exception. Gemara says in the end of Brachos, Shelo inichu kemoso be'eretz Yisrael. If the Gedolei Hadar happened to live not in Eretz Yisrael, but in Chutz La'aretz, so that Ibur HaShana, right, calendar decisions can be made in Chutz La'aretz. That's the halacha. Once again, you have a rule and you have an exception. Right? Both of them require our understanding. The calendar affects every Jew in the world, because the Moadim apply to all Jews, not only to the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. Right? The Kviyas HaChodesh, or Ibur HaShana, affects everybody. Why the priority of Ki Mitzion Teitzei Torah? Nothing to do with the soil, obviously. V'im Kvar, as they say, Az Kvar. And once you decided that there is some Eretz Yisrael component, so what difference does it make whether the Gedolei Torah of that particular generation happened to live in Eretz Yisrael or outside of Eretz Yisrael? If there's a requirement of Eretz Yisrael, no one will tell you that if the Gedolei Yisrael live in Chutz La'aretz, then you should be mafresh trumas ma'isras in Chutz La'aretz, right? If it's an Eretz Yisrael requirement, then be consistent about it. If already there is such a rule, which is a little hard to understand, then how do we understand the exception as well? Not only that, but the Achronim I'll point out that there are certain historical and geographic problems as well. Most notable, The Yerushalmi and Bali Tosfos quote this on Sanhedrin. Give as an example, Shalohinichu Kamosa Beretz Yisrael, where the Talmidei Chachamim, the Gedolei Hador, lived in Chutz Laaretz, and therefore it was permissible to make calendar pronouncements in Chutz Laaretz. They give the example of Yechezkel. Right? Now, Yechezkel lived after the first bias was destroyed, right? In that intervening era. So all the Achronim ask, that's a terrible example. They say, after all, if you take the view that Kedusha Rishona, Kitcha L'Shaita, Velo Kitcha L'Yosid Vavo, when Yoshua came and conquered Eretz Yisrael, so he invested it with Kedusha. When the first bias was destroyed, there's a debate in the Gemara whether or not the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael endured or ended. Most people paskin that it ended. There was no Kedusha Eretz Yisrael in Trumos, Maestros, etc. after the first Chorban, until Ezra came back and resettled the land in a smaller area. And in that smaller area, right, he reestablished Kedusha Eretz Yisrael. Now Yechezkel was after the destruction, before the resettlement of Ezra. So in his period, there was no Kedusha Eretz Yisrael. So if you want to prove that Shalohinichu Kamosa Be'eretz Yisrael, that if the Gedolei Yisrael live in Chutz Laaretz, they have the prerogative of calendar pronouncements, you can't prove it from a time when Eretz Yisrael itself and its status has been diluted. So what kind of proof is Yechezkel? That's the question that the Minchas Chinuch and others ask. Minchas Chinuch himself gives a very famous answer. Minchas Chinuch says that actually, maybe Ki Mitzion Teitzei Toro Dvar Hashem Yerushalayim, if you emphasize the Seifa, it's a Yerushalayim issue, not so much an Eretz Yisrael issue. And the Rambam at least takes the position in Hilchos Beis HaBechira that even if Kedushas Eretz Yisrael is batel, Kedushas Yerushalayim is permanent. The Rambam says that Kedushas Yerushalayim is Kedushas HaShechina, the Ein HaShechina B'teil. So the Minchas Chinuch says the proof from Yechezkel is fine because even though there was no Kedushas Karka, there was Kedushas Yerushalayim, and Yerushalayim is what's going. However, other Achronim gave a different answer. The Rav among them. The Rav argued that there are really two aspects to Eretz Yisrael. In general, really much earlier, the Kafta Beferach, Rav Ashtoria Parchi, who was one of the Rishonim and who wrote a Sefer on Inyanei Eretz Yisrael, that in itself is an interesting phenomenon. The only Rishon to have done that, as far as I know. He basically develops this idea in a broader way, even. And that is, there are two dinim of Eretz Yisrael. There's the din of Kedushas Karka of Eretz Yisrael. We speak about Trumos and Maestros and Shemitah, the things that we've been talking about. And there, we have very specific time periods. Yoshua was Mekadesh Haaretz. At the end of the first Chorban, Kedushas Haaretz was Betela. Ezra came back, reinvested Kedusha in a smaller geographic area. There's a machlokas whether his Kedusha still applies, or that was Batel. That's all about Kedushas Karka. However, what the Rav used to call Shem Eretz Yisrael, the status of Eretz Yisrael as a makom, as a place, has nothing to do with the Kedushas Karka. Eretz Yisrael, as Eretz Zavas Chalav Udvash, as a promise, right, already from the time of Avram Avinu, the Eretz Yisrael that we speak, that Moshe Rabbeinu was told about, Vevesi, in the Nevuah, in Parshas Va'era, has nothing to do with the sanctity of the Karka. It has to do with the role that it plays, which we'll explain in just a minute, in broader terms. And as such, from a Kiddush HaChodesh perspective, which has nothing to do with the soil, it doesn't matter whether or not Kedusha Rishona is Betela, it doesn't matter that it's an intervening historical period between the loss of the first Kedusha and the onset of the second, all that doesn't matter. Eretz Yisrael, from the time of Avram Avinu, according to Rav Ashtoria Parchi, the Rav's formulation is from the time of Yehoshua, has the status of Shem Eretz Yisrael, and that's something which never ends. Similarly, the Rav used to speak about this, having three examples of this. The truth is, there are quite a few more. I'll mention his very quickly. The other example that he used to give, which Rav Ashtoria Parchi, the Kesef Mishnah and Radbaz also discuss, not the Kesef Mishnah, Radbaz, is the question of smicha, rabbinic ordination, the real rabbinic ordination. Ish mi pi ish, Mi Moshe Rabbeinu, which has its source in Moshe Rabbeinu, Beis Dino, and then Yehoshua, and then uninterrupted from generation to generation until, unfortunately, it was interrupted. And that's a topic in its own right. But the real rabbinic ordination, which is the basis for the court system, for capital crimes and knossos, so the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that it has to be bestowed, it has to be bequeathed, only in Eretz Yisrael. You can't give smicha in Chutz La'aretz. That's the Gemara in Sanhedrin. There's no dispute about that point. What's fascinating about it, though, is there's no source in the Bavli. Talmud Bavli doesn't tell you where they know such an important thing. Just present it as fact. The Yerushalmi has a source. Yerushalmi's source is more problem than it's worth. Ben Adam Beis Yisrael Yoshvim Al Admasam. That's a pasuk in Yecheskel. So the Yerushalmi says, Ein yeshiva ela bi'admasa. Which is very nice. What does that have to do with smicha? According to the Yerushalmi, that is the source for smicha being limited, the ability to give smicha, is limited to Eretz Yisrael. Now again, like the calendar, the question is, what does rabbinic ordination have to do with Eretz Yisrael? It has to do with being a responsible and legal interpreter of Jewish law. Right, there's going to be crime, so capital crimes, knossos, you have to have the capacity to adjudicate or to innovate halachic rulings, takanos. That's true wherever Jews live. And indeed, the Mishnah says in Makos, that Sanhedrin noheges ba'aretz u'b'chutz la'aretz. So if that's true, why dafka in Eretz Yisrael, and no source in the Bavli, and a very, we'll try to explain it, but a very puzzling source in the Yerushalmi. Not only that, but the Rambam has a very peculiar psak. It's a little late, so I won't quote it, I'll just tell you it. The Rambam says, what are the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael when it comes to the giving of smicha? They are the boundaries of Yehoshua when he conquered Eretz Yisrael. Problem is, the Rambam himself, in Hilchos Beis HaBechira and in Hilchos Trumos, paskins, that Kedusha Rishona, the Kedusha of Yehoshua, is Batel. The Kedusha of Ezra, according to the Rambam, which was geographically more limited, still exists to this day. But that's not the boundaries of Yehoshua. So the Rambam, writing in, you know, the medieval period, long, long, long after the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, right, speaking about all of that, tells us that the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael for smicha are the original boundaries, even though according to his own ruling, there's no longer any Kedusha. So the Radvaz quotes Rav Ashoria Parchi. So the Rav said this idea, not quoting them, so without seeing it maybe, that we're dealing with two different ideas. The issue of boundaries, just like the issue of timing, Yechezkel, is all about Kedusha's karka. But smicha has nothing to do with land or the soil. It has to do with the place of Eretz Yisrael. And as such, even the boundaries of that Eretz Yisrael go back to the original Yehoshua boundaries, not the Ezra ones. We still don't understand what the makor is and why there should be this halacha. Sanhedrin's noheges ba'aretz u'b'chutz la'aretz. Why does it have to have its origin? Why does it have to be bequeathed in Eretz Yisrael? We'll get back to that. The Rav's third example was Egla Rufa. The story of Egla Rufa is well known to everyone, I'm sure. You have an anonymous corpse. The question is, who's going to take responsibility for it? Right? You have this whole procedure, measured to the nearest town. Right? And then the Zakenim come and they say, Yodeinu lo shafku es adam hazeh, etc. So it only applies in Eretz Yisrael. Egla Rufa only applies in Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam in Hilchos Rotzeach seems to indicate that it applies also in Eivar HaYarden, Eretz Yisrael, but the Eivar HaYarden boundaries, which the Mepharshim seem to note, imply the greater Eretz Yisrael, not the Ezra one, but the Yehoshua one. The Rambam in Hilchos Shemitah, at least the Raivin in Hilchos Shemitah, Perek Dalet, Halacha Chafei, seems to indicate that Eivar HaYarden was not resettled by Ezra. Same question. How could Rambam, writing in the medieval period, write about boundaries for an Eretz Yisrael halacha that are not consistent with his own psak? Once again, The idea of same Eretz Yisrael, but not Kedushas Haaretz. What is this really all about? And how can we explain some of these things and then get back to our original idea of Korban Pesach? So the foundation of it all appears to be a Gemara in Horios. Gemara says in Horios, there's a certain kind of Korban that all of Klal Yisrael brings as a unit. Not in the Moed, but for a Chet. It's called Par Helm Dover Shel Tzibur. What it means is that if Bezen HaGadol, the Supreme Court of Jewish life, they make a mistake. The result of their mistake is that Rov Klal Yisrael do an Aveira. So instead of every individual bringing a Korban, one Korban is brought on behalf of the entire Tzibur. It's called the Par Helm Dover Shel Tzibur. Question is, how do you figure out the majority of Klal Yisrael erred or not? So the Gemara in Horios of Gimel and Aleph, based on Psukim, says, Kahal Yisrael should be Eretz Yisrael ikri kahal, Kahal Yisrael should be Chutz Laretz lo ikri kahal. In defining the majority, you look at the majority population living in Eretz Yisrael, not the world population. But you have to understand that whatever decision you make affects not only the population in Eretz Yisrael, but the world population. Meaning, if a majority of Eretz Yisrael Jews make this mistake as a result of the improper psak, a single korban will be brought on behalf of all Jews, right, in New York and even in Brooklyn, right? All Jews. Even if the majority of Jews in Chutz Laretz didn't make the sale, and vice versa. In other words, the definition affects world Jewry, but it's defined by the population in Eretz Yisrael. To take it a step further, the Rambam in Pirshei Mishnayos, in Horios, seems to indicate how do you define Eretz Yisrael here, geographically. Once again, he quotes the Psukim of Yotzei Mitzrayim, even though for the Rambam, writing again in the Middle Ages, the proper boundaries for Kedushas HaAretz are the boundaries of Ezra. The Midrash Chinuch jumps on this, as he did on the Rambam in Smicha, and as he does on Tosis regarding Kiddush HaChodesh. In all these places, the Midrash Chinuch says, I don't understand these psakim, I think they're really wrong, I think the Ezra boundaries, except for Kiddush HaChodesh, which depend on Yerushalayim, I think the Ezra boundaries are the right boundaries. The Rambam doesn't hold this way. What's going on? So once again, it's this idea. We're not talking about the karka of Eretz Yisrael, we're talking about Eretz Yisrael as a makom. But, to take it a step further, this Gemara in Horios provides the obvious but critical perspective. What it tells us is that there are individuals and individual communities throughout the world that are Jewish and Jewishly observant, and that's very crucial. But kahal Yisrael shav Eretz Yisrael ikrikah. When it comes to matters of the totality of Klal Yisrael as a makom, the corporate headquarters of Klal Yisrael is only in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore the majority which dictates, is this a Klal Yisrael problem or an individual problem? You have to bring individual korbanos, shkaga, or a single korban? Depends on the population in Eretz Yisrael. The impact is global. What's fascinating is that the Rambam in Pirshei Mishnayos in Bechoros suggests a makar for why it is that smicha is limited to Eretz Yisrael. I mentioned the Yerushalmi has a strange makar, the Bavli has no makar. The Rambam in Pirshei Mishnayos in Bechoros says, I have a makar. It's that Gemara in Horios, the psukim that it's based on. Kahal Yisrael shebe Eretz Yisrael ikri kahal. Kahal Yisrael shebe chutz laretz lo ikri kahal. We couldn't want better. The Rambam's cooperation here is just amazing. Right, the Rambam's telling us the boundary, so the Or Sameach adds a comment. Or Sameach says, in light of the Rambam in Pirshei Mishnayos and Bechoros, we can also understand his psak that the boundary depends on Yotzei Mitzrayim in Yoshua and not Ezra. Because in Horios, he also thinks that. What's the bigger picture and the bigger idea? The idea is, whenever we're dealing with matters where you need a single venue or a single source of authority to speak on behalf of Kahal Yisrael, all things being equal, That depends on Eretz Yisrael, but not as karka, but as a makom. And that depends not on Kedushas Aretz, the boundaries of Ezra, but the vision given to Avram Avinu or the initial conquest of Yehoshua. So let's take the two or three examples that we had. Kiddush HaChodesh, right? Anybody who runs an organization knows that whoever controls the calendar, if you don't know this, it's good to know it, whoever controls the calendar controls the organization, right? There can be a tyranny in controlling the calendar and controlling the organization, which I'm not recommending, but it's a fact of organizational life. You can only have a single calendar. Ki mitzion teitzei Torah l'shichno sidrusu v'asa shama says that ideally that should be established in Eretz Yisrael because it's a national question. Of course, now we can understand the exception as well as the rule. If lo enichu kamosos be'Eretz Yisrael, if the Gedolei Yisrael also, from a gavra, from a personality point of view, from an authority figure point of view, represent the totality of the interests of Klal Yisrael, if they live in the diaspora, then you're making an adjustment. You're not going to say, listen, the place is more important than the people, than the authority figures. But ideally, if the authority figures, if you have equal amount of authority figures, or even if you have a few less authority figures living in Eretz Yisrael, then in Chutz La'aretz, Eretz Yisrael will win out because that's the national headquarters of the Jewish people. That's where the calendar should be issuing from. Smicha, rabbinic authority, Sanhedrin noheges ba'aretz u'b'chutz la'aretz. That's true. But that authority isn't just about adjudicating, this is a bigger topic, you know, a dispute, or postulating a shaila, or even a single policy. It's really about the leadership of Klal Yisrael. Starts from Moshe Rabbeinu to Yoshua. And we won't go into the details of it right now. But the point is, that's why it has to be rooted in Eretz Yisrael. Klal Yisrael shall be Eretz Yisrael, ikri kol. Then it can expand its influence to Chutz La'aretz. But it has to be rooted in Eretz Yisrael. And that's exactly what the Yerushalmi meant. That strange makar turns out to be very profound at second glance. Right? Beis Yisrael on Yoshvim al Admasam, Ein Yeshiva Ela be'Eretz Yisrael. Meaning, there's a certain special stature to Yeshiva Ba'aretz. That's not only the life of an individual, that's the national headquarters and the national life of the Jewish people, issues from there. Everything radiates out from that point. And therefore, smicha requires dafka Eretz Yisrael. According to some Rishonim, nevuah, dafka be'Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Ko Yisrael Arevim Zela Zeh, applies only once Klal Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael. Till then, Jews were a collection of individuals on their way to forging and becoming a people. But that sense of collective responsibility is something which is limited to Eretz Yisrael itself. If this is true, and there's much more to demonstrate or to speak about it, so let's go back to our problem of Korban Pesach. When the Torah says, Ma avodah hazos lachem, they'll ask you, Ma avodah hazos lachem. So the Sfarno has a very interesting comment. He says, after all, Korban Pesach is a very peculiar korban. And he lists some of the unique features. We won't go into all of them right now. One of them that he mentions is that it's neither a korban yachid nor is it a korban tzibur. Right, on a moed, you bring korban tzibur, being in the Beis Hamikdash, they bring a korban for all of Klal Yisrael. When a person has to bring a korban, whether it's a korban toda or for a chet, or a voluntary korban, he brings a korban. Korban Pesach is brought by every member of Klal Yisrael, b'kinufya, at the same time. It's not exactly a korban tzibur, and it's certainly not exactly a korban yachid. Moreover, the unit of bringing korban Pesach is chabura. It's the family. It's group. Something which is unique. We don't have anything quite like it. The Rambam's psak is that a katan, child, who can be included in the Korban Pesach of his father, if he has a proper minui, to the extent that if he then turns a gadol before Pesach Sheni, he already fulfilled his obligation. Very strange. I mean, katan is not included in mitzvos. But because the Minui and the Chabur is a family unit, while he's not qualified as an individual, as part of the family structure, a katan is included as well. The Medrash, both in Parshas Bo and later on in Devarim, zeroing in on a pasuk here in Perek Yud Beis, pasuk says, "V'chiyaguri tchem ger." When you have gerim, right, they should also bring korban pesach b'moado. So the Chilta here and the Sifrei there says, "Yochel, I might think that every time a ger is nizgayer, somebody becomes a Jew, he should bring a korban pesach." Therefore, the Torah is telling you it doesn't work that way. You only bring korban pesach on pesach. What a strange idea. Why would anybody think that every time somebody becomes a ger, he should bring a korban pesach? No one ever said that every time somebody becomes a ger, he should eat matzah. I'm talking about not on pesach. Right? Or that he should all of a sudden bring a korban shlamim. There is a korban in the context of gerus, all things being equal. But not other mitzvahs. Or that he should all of a sudden blow shofar. Why specifically a korban pesach? All of these point, and many other things as well, to the idea that korban pesach is to the tzibur what a bris milah is to the male yachid. Namely, it's a symbol of his kedushas Yisrael. Kedushas Yisrael liyachid, kedushas Yisrael litzibur. Both milah and pesach have one thing in common. They're the only two mitzvahs asay Sheyesh ben kares, and a prerequisite of korban pesach is that the male, not only himself, but also anybody he controls, his children, his avadim, all have a bris milah. Why? Because there's a special bond, b'damayi chayi, dam pesach and dam milah, one on the individual level, the other on the collective level. These are the ways of reflecting the bris between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. One on an individual level, the other on a tzibur level. And that's exactly why every individual is obligated to bring a korban pesach, but at the same time as everyone else, and in the units of a chabura. And that's why we might have thought that when a person is mizgayer, just like he needs mila, tzvila, and a korban, maybe he should bring a korban pesach, because he has to establish his status as a member of Klal Yisrael in that sense. Therefore we're told, no, it only applies on Pesach itself. But this idea of Korban Pesach being unique, being a Korban of the Tzibur, explains what we began with. Why should it be V'kisavo ala aretz, Korban Pesach? What does Korban Pesach have to do with Eretz Yisrael? At the same time, how do we explain the exception in the Midbar? But the answer to both of these questions seems to be this connection. Korban Pesach is the korban par excellence of Kedushas HaTzibur, Kedushas HaRabim, the idea of a collective responsible, collective collectivity where one person is responsible for the other because of their common national identity. And because of that's the unique theme of Korban Pesach, so the Torah tells us that while it's a korban and it's a chovas haguf, nonetheless, it's kisavo la'aretz. The only thing is that there are two versions of it. Some of Farshim will say, it's not really ma'akev, but the idea, according to them, would be that while it's not ma'akev, the idea of bring a korban pesach in Eretz Yisrael, that's a different kind of an experience. That's the merging or the fusion, right, of two different aspects of Chai HaTzibur, right, which is mutually enhancing for each. And others will say, a step further, that is exactly Ma'akev. Ad Kedei Kach are these two one theme that Eretz Yisrael is a prerequisite. What about the exception? The answer is, the exception proves the rule. Because, for example, just to highlight it, smicha, right? You mentioned that smicha has its origin, has to be given in Eretz Yisrael. But until Klal Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael, there was still smicha, right? Moshe to Yoshua, Moshe to the Zkenim. Yoshua bequeathed smicha, possibly Bamidbar. But if the idea of smicha is the representation of the interests of Klal Yisrael, right? So once you enter into Eretz Yisrael, there can no longer be the interests of Klal Yisrael on a collective national level without it. But Bamidbar, which is part of the process of forging Am Yisrael into a nation, that's an exception to the rule. And that was an exception to the rule in this context as well. Not only that, but Kasher Diber Lach, you mentioned that according to Rashi and according to the Ramban, if Korban Pesach really requires Eretz Yisrael, what does it have to do with the Nevuah that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas Va'era, where it says, Vehei Vesi, what about Ruth Korban Pesach? It's a Korban Pesach halach. But in light of what we're suggesting, it works out very well. Moshe Rabbeinu was told, you're going to remove the shackles of slavery from these people, but not just as individuals, but as a nation. And that has three elements, three dimensions. Number one, Yitzias Mitzrayim. Number two, Matan Torah, Hayom Azen Yesa La'am, where the whole Klal Yisrael collectively hears the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Each one hears it slightly different way, but they hear the same thing. It's a shared experience. And the third of these triad is Vei Vesi Eschem. Part of the Geula, which is part of forging a nation, includes not only Yitzias Mitzrayim, and not only the commitment of Matan and Talmud Torah, but the homeland of Eretz Yisrael as well. Let me take it one step further for just a second. The Rambam in Mor Nevuchim notes that when the Torah describes the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas Va'era as being unique, or Shmi Hashem lo nodati lahem, so it refers not only to the quality of the Nevuah. We all know that Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah was different. It was in a waking state, and it was more direct, and so on and so forth. All the things that the Rambam and the Ramban in various places develop. But the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim has a very profound comment in addition. He says that Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah was the first national Nevuah. The Nevuah of the Avos was as individuals. And it wasn't even necessarily meant to be shared with anyone else. We know the Nevuahs of Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov through the Torah. But Avraham, Yitzchak and Yaakov weren't told to, nor do we know that they decided to, share their experiences with others. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was selected not for his accomplishments, he wasn't yet accomplished. He was selected for the fact that he would be, and he would develop into, the manik of Klal Yisrael. And the first time a Nevuah was given, says the Rambam, which was intended to be shared, and which really belonged to the Tzibur. The fact that that Nevuah included not only the Tzalti v'lakachti, but the Hevesi, the vision and the ambition of Eretz Yisrael, just seals this entire motif and theme. After all, it was all about the Tzibur. And if it's all about the Tzibur, then Kasher Diber, the Nevuah, the promise of the Hevesi, and everything that was about, is part of the reason why Korban Pesach, given the nature of the Korban, has to be dafka in Eretz Yisrael. Let me just say, by way of concluding, there's more to talk about, obviously, but the Gemara in the end of Masechet Ksuvos says that Hador b'chutzlar it's kamish ein lo aloka. Very difficult Gemara. In the world of halacha, we're always wary of such statements. It's a statement of Chazal that needs to be understood. Obviously, it's a statement that needs to be understood in context of other statements. The movement of Shlilat HaGolah, which is popular in some Zionist circles, that anybody who lives outside of Eretz Yisrael is living a meaningless life, is not something which I think the mainstream embraces. It's certainly not something which I embrace. Therefore, literal understanding of Kimisha Ein Lo Eloka, the person, such an individual is devoid of any kind of religious life, is not an interpretation which is acceptable. However, one can be a very good religious Zionist. And I think, actually, The way to really be a good religious Zionist is to understand what that statement really might mean, even if one doesn't take it literally. It's clear that the Torah has much to offer, that the lives that we live, as I said before, are enriched by the totality and the ambition of Taryag mitzvos, many of which can be accomplished in Chutz Laaretz. It's also clear that there's a dimension of life in Eretz Yisrael which is inimitable and irreplaceable. There are aspects of the experience of life in Eretz Yisrael which Chutz Laaretz cannot approximate. In the story of Rus, you know, a very brief, you know, pithy kind of crystallization of commitment to Yadus is formulated. Anecha mi, right? Rus says to her mother-in-law, Anecha mi elokoyech elokoy. In Jewish terms, Anecha mi and elokoyech elokoy are not two completely different things. They're two different aspects, but they're related, and one enhances the other. And when the Gemara says in Ksuvis, Hador b'chutzlar, it's kemisha eilo aloka, the way I understand it is, the aspect of amecha mi, which is connected to elokoi echelokoi, the idea of a national life, the idea of a national headquarters, the shlemos that can take place in Eretz Yisrael, where all mitzvos can be accomplished, that's not just a quantitative benefit, but it's a holistic balance as well. But more importantly, that idea of Chaye HaKlal, of Kahal Yisrael, Shev Eretz Yisrael, Ikri Kahal, the idea of Korban Pesach, and of Nevuah, and of Kiddush HaChodesh, Ki Mitzion Teitzei Torah, and of Smicha, and so on, all of these aspects which highlight the contribution of the national motif, all of these are not things that are just about Chaye HaTzibur and Chaye HaKoha. Invariably, they spill over and they impact the total quality of religious life. And in that sense, Amecha Mi Alakai Chalakai, Misha Dar B'chutz Laaretz, I think the Gemara's idea also is, if a person has equal opportunity, he shows disregard for, he doesn't appreciate the opportunity of living in Eretz Yisrael, that person is lacking an aspect not only of his Amecha Mi, but of his Elokai Chalakai as well. In that sense, those of us who happen to live here in Chutz Laaretz certainly shouldn't embrace the Shlilat HaGolah, but on the contrary, we should be challenged by the much greater ambition of the Halacha's perspective of religious Zionism. And that is, to embrace the mitzvahs that we have, to see them as tremendous opportunities to shape our lives, to infuse kedusha in it. Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu lezakos es Yisrael, lefikach yirbu lahem Torah mitzvos. But at the same time, to find ways to contribute to the chayei tzibur, to build up the tzibur, understanding that the headquarters of that is in Eretz Yisrael, means support for Eretz Yisrael, means identification with Eretz Yisrael. And when the opportunity presents itself, it also means the possibility of a greater, more ambitious, a more enriching life in Eretz Yisrael as well. Medinas Yisrael has really provided that opportunity in the modern era. And, you know, many people speak about the Divrei Shevach V'Hodan, the Korban Toda, you know, in the sense of, it's a makov of Hatzalas HaTzibur, post-Holocaust, and the Russian Aliyah, and other Aliyot, and all of that is true. There's no question about it. But for people who are committed to Halacha and who appreciate the Eretz Yisrael affects the Korban Pesach and the Kiddush HaChodesh and the Smicha, it's much more than that. And it's not only more than that, but we appreciate those elements as well. The idea that there is a national headquarters, which is involved with, which takes responsibility for every Jew, no matter where he lives. So that the kind of situations that have occurred historically where different Jewish communities had nowhere to turn. It isn't just that the political or the military solution you know, is what we're focusing on. It's the idea of Achrayus and the idea of the Tzibor. It's what unites all Jews together. It's that really where Eretz Yisrael makes its most profound mark, and where the modern state of Israel, Hakamas HaMedina, is really a watershed in our time. It's true not only for crises that are more obvious, but even crises of identity. Fortunately, most of American Jewry, most of European Jewry, there's a very small minority which are involved in the world of Torah and in the world of Halacha. For them, being Jewish means identifying with Eretz Yisrael, and more specifically with the State of Israel. And while that's a sad thing in the sense that these Jews lead obviously relatively an impoverished spiritual life, we want much more for them, and it's our obligation, both as individuals and as part of the tally of Klal Yisrael, to try to increase and intensify their levels of observance and identification. But again, it highlights the role that Medinas Yisrael has played and continues to play, and the best hope for world Jewry really is very much for this partnership to intensify. So that as we enjoy the rest of the day, you know, with the other kinds of a celebration, we should fully appreciate that the halacha itself really accentuates this aspect of Eretz Yisrael, something which we should all celebrate. Thank you.